All right. We understand you all have checked in and you've divided your argument time. So we will be going by that scheduling as you have represented to our clerk. So first up, we will have Mr. Hager.
Thank you, Chief Justice. May it please the court. My name is Robert Hager, the law firm of Nichols, Jackson, Dillard, Hager, and Smith. I represent the appellants, individual property owners in this matter. May it please the court, I'll start off with some brief facts which we think are very important in understanding what we feel was the error of the 431st in making a decision to dismiss the injunction in this case, as well as grant the pleas to the jurisdiction to the Town of Ponder and to the Cowboy Church. I'll refer to the plaintiffs in the matter from the lower court collectively as the appellants. I will refer to the Town of Ponder as the town and the Cowboy Church of Denton as the church. Originally, the church owned a parcel of property which they had a rodeo arena and other building which they conducted both their cowboy lifestyle and rodeo and their church services. To the immediate adjacent was a residential zoning district. 2004, the Town of Ponder enacted a comprehensive land use plan and a zoning ordinance, both adopted in accordance with the comprehensive land use plan under the Texas Local Government Code, section chapter 213, and then a comprehensive zoning ordinance and an appropriate map in same time period under 211 of the Texas Local Government Code. The plaintiffs in this case, or the landowners in this case, owned property that was adjacent, which they had single-family residential homes. The Cowboy Church, if the justices are familiar, there's a cowboy lifestyle involved. They have traditional cowboy activities, which are euphemistically referred to as a rodeo, in connection with their church services. It came to pass in 2014 that they bought, and the original property owned by the church was approximately 7 to 8 acres. They subsequently bought a second tract of land, which is adjacent to their 7 to 8 acre tract, which was a 12 acre tract, which was immediately behind the landowners of the plaintiff's property in this case. They began in 2015 to build a new rodeo arena. At the time, they did not obtain, and this property was all within the Town of Ponder. They did not obtain a building permit for that building and continued to build. The plaintiffs in this case protested the landowners that that there was no building permit issued. And then subsequent to that, they complained that the zoning and the land use comp plan that had been adopted by the town was for low density residential under the comp plan and R2 zoning, which is a residential zoning district for the 12 acre site. The original, the church then obtained a building permit. The building permit was revoked. And then another building permit was issued, and finally a land use case for a zoning change was brought before the Planning and Zoning Commission and subsequent to the Town Council. During that process, building continued on the rodeo facility. The plaintiffs brought an action challenging that, and let me say, the night of the approval of the zoning request is interesting, and I would ask the justices to focus on it. Originally, a vote was taken denying the change in zoning from R2 back zoned to agricultural and for a special use permit for a multi-event center. And I think those are important for the court to understand. It wasn't for a church, it was for a multiple event center. Original vote was taken, it was denied. There was a conference with the attorney, a private conference, attorney-client privilege conference, and they come out and vote to approve. Never was an ordinance approved by the town of Ponder, and as I stand here today, an ordinance was never approved, and that is significant. The immediate action was brought by the landowners. Greg Suckow was the attorney in that matter, and remains an attorney in this case, brought the original action seeking a declaratory judgment. It was also amended to indicate that there was a 1983 violation by the town not filing its statutory and its own ordinance procedures, and sought an injunction. That injunction was denied. Pleas to the jurisdiction were followed by the town of Ponder and by the church, alleging that there was no cognizable cause of action for a private property owner to enforce a zoning ordinance that was adopted or duly adopted by the town. It is our position in this case, and it is clear that where we felt that the court erred in granting the pleas to the jurisdiction. First of all, there was never an adoptive ordinance. And I would refer the court to the case of City of Hutchins versus Pacifica at 450 Southwest 2nd, 829, which is a 1970 Supreme Court case. And in that case, the town or the City of Hutchins attempted by resolution or minute entry to amend its Comprehensive Zoning Act and its Local Zoning Act by approving a motion that was made and seconded and approved by the City Council in that case, which purportedly changed the zoning and the zoning map. As the justices are well aware, that there's a zoning ordinance and then there's a map that cities adopt, which has the designated land use for that particular tract of land. In this case, the town of Ponder designated the 12-acre church site as R2, which is a residential zoning district. It was attempted to be back zoned to agricultural and then an overlay of a special use permit for a multi-event center. At trial in this matter, during the pleas of the jurisdiction, the town took the position that RLUIPA, which is the federal legislation, which is cited as 42 USC 2000 lowercase double c, is federal legislation that precludes the state and cities and municipalities from enacting regulations, and in this particular case, a zoning ordinance, which substantially burdens the free exercise of religion. It is clear that the federal court, in interpreting RLUIPA, that the mere existence of zoning requirements are not a substantial burden.
Well, and let me ask this. There was a zoning ordinance in place at the time the church acquired the additional property.
Yes, ma'am. And the designation in the comprehensive land use plan was for low-density residential in R2 zoning, which is a residential zoning district.
So is your position then that there wasn't a change that would negatively impact the church? In other words, it had the lighter zoning to begin with, and so that the RLUIPA statute couldn't apply.
I guess the court could take that position, but I believe the town's position was that they couldn't impose zoning regulations on the church because of RLUIPA. If they did so, that would be a substantial burden. So that even if they didn't grant the zoning, the church could build and they would have to issue the building permit. And we do not believe that that's the law. The courts, federal courts, have clearly interpreted RLUIPA to say that the mere fact, as long as you treat the religious institutions like other institutions and you don't preclude someone because of their religious beliefs from worshiping, that the mere imposition of a zoning or the existence of the zoning ordinance and a special use permit requirement are not a substantial burden per se. And that's basically what we viewed the court did in this case. There was testimony obviously from the church that they hold church services in the rodeo arena. They referred to as church in the dirt, as you may have reviewed the record. And we don't have any issue with them as a them exercising their religious rights. That's not the issue. There's already an existing facility that they own to that's adjacent to the 12-acre site. We would point out to the court that the rodeo arena, and despite the what they view as intertwined relationship between the worshiping of their religious beliefs and their lifestyle, cannot be, you can't turn a rodeo arena into a church just because you pray there. If that were true, then if we had a religious service or ceremony at AT&T Stadium, it does not become a church.
Well, is the Astrodome in Houston's a church now, right?
It may very well
be, because it's bought. Church?
But it's, they're holding church activities. What's going on in that arena, and what is the zoning of that arena? I would point out to the judges, this is immediately adjacent and contiguous to single-family residential homes. There's a rodeo in their backyard two or three times a week. I think there's some testimony in the record that prizes are given. It's just like going to Mesquite, but they have church services there as well. And we don't believe that RLUIPA, that's what RLUIPA is about. And so from our point of view, Vision Church versus the Village of Long Grove, which is at 468 Fed 3rd, 975, Civil Liberties for Urban Beliefs versus City of Chicago at 342 Fed 3rd at 752, Church versus the City of St. Michael, which is recent case at 216 Law Week at 4545312, and Tree versus the City of Arlington, Ohio, 823 Fed 3rd, 365, all indicate that the mere existence of the zoning ordinance is not a substantial burden. The court wouldn't let us even challenge whether or not it was a substantial burden. There was no trial on whether there was a substantial burden. It was a plea to the jurisdiction based on the fact that, well, the zoning ordinance is a substantial burden per se. We would also point out to the justices that it's very important to understand what the town of Ponder did. They issued a building permit in violation of their own zoning ordinance. They attempted to change the zoning, but unsuccessfully did so. Pacifica itself dealt with a situation where there was heavy manufacturing in an R2 district. The landowner wanted heavy manufacturing. He convinced the council members to pass a resolution changing the map and adopting his property as being heavy manufacturing. The subsequent city council took issue with that, and therefore the lawsuit. And in that court, the case specifically said you cannot by resolution change something that is been adopted by ordinance. And that's long-standing Texas law, and that's exactly what happened in this case. There's no ordinance. The minute there's testimony that no written ordinance, there's testimony that there was no change in the zoning map, and therefore the town of Ponder has unsuccessfully and permitted there to be a unwanted land use, if you will, next door. The whole idea of land use regulation is to orderly development of land within the community. Having this type of use with a special use permit at this location for this purpose seems to be an arbitrary and capricious act that has affected the real property interest of the plaintiffs in this case, the landowners, and we would ask the court to reverse the decision of Judge Bailey in this court and remand this back for a trial on the merits to determine whether or not there has been a substantial impact on our property owners, the plaintiffs, and the appellants in this case. Thank you.
Let me ask, if I may, just give me a couple of examples of your client's claims to specific injury to their property.
Well, at this point, if you were to reside in that home and they had a rodeo three times a week, the smell, the sound. Now, I will grant and I will admit to the justices that at the time of the hearing, the facility was not complete. So there were no animals there yet. There was no rodeo being held. And although there, I think there was some testimony that some services may have been held there, that was not the issue. Maybe they did jump the gun from there being a nuisance claim, but clearly the land use, if you live next door to Texas Stadium or if you live next door to the ballpark in Arlington, we feel that that's the harm for that kind of use for a multi-purpose center. Remember, it was for a multi-purpose center, not a church.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hager.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Boyle, I believe you're arguing first.
May it please the court, Matthew Boyle here on behalf of the town of Ponder, asking this panel to affirm the trial court's granting of the town of Ponder's plea to the jurisdiction. Plaintiffs bore the burden to establish the trial court's jurisdiction over all of their claims, and the plaintiffs failed to meet that burden. The town of Ponder, as a general law municipality, is entitled to immunity. That immunity can only be waived by an express act of the legislature, and such waiver must be clear and unambiguous, as clarified in Section 311.034 of the Texas Government Code. Even when you have a waiver in place, statutorily or otherwise, it must be adequately and sufficiently pled. And the second part, and this is the part where plaintiffs fatally failed, they must show the factual applicability of that waiver. And plaintiffs' burden in that regard goes even higher when the town's plea to the jurisdiction is supported by evidence, as it was in this case, and when the plea to the jurisdiction wasn't even ruled on or granted until after an all-day full-on evidentiary hearing on their application for a temporary injunction. Plaintiffs have not met and cannot meet that factual evidentiary burden based on the applicable law. They have both pleading and evidentiary defects which are incurable. Plaintiff's Fourth Amended petition includes five causes of action, only two of which are technically substantive in nature, and both of which amount to challenges to the exercise of the town of Ponder's zoning prerogative. And those are, number one, a request for declaratory judgment, and number two, what purports to be a 1983 claim that looks somewhat like a taking. Their third cause of action is nuisance, for which no waiver of immunity was pled at all at any point during the trial court or in their pleadings. And the fourth and fifth cause of action, which are requests for injunctive relief and attorney's fees, are actually folded under the first two causes of action because you don't get injunctive relief or attorney's fees without an underlying cause of action. The only two potentially which would be applicable here are deck judgment and their 1983 claim. Early on in its first appearance in this suit, the town asserted its immunity and it supported it with evidence. And once that's done, the burden on the plaintiff, which first and foremost at the outset was to establish the trial court's jurisdiction, but well, when the town of Ponder submitted its evidence, then the plaintiff is further obligated and burdened with the requirement to present to the trial court a disputed material fact regarding a jurisdictional issue. And here, we're going to talk briefly about the interplay between zoning and RLUIPA. And before I get there, I want to just point out to you that the threshold today is not whether the town of Ponder, under RLUIPA, was required to approve the requested zoning change by the Cowboys Church, although I think we would have been. Had we been in a different posture and the town of Ponder had not allowed the church to proceed with their activity, I believe under RLUIPA we would have been obligated to do so. But here we're just talking about what the discretionary standard is relative to the town of Ponder's exercise of its police power. A duly adopted zoning action is presumed to be valid, and the burden is on the one seeking to prevent its enforcement to prove that the ordinance is arbitrary or unreasonable in that it bears no substantial relationship to the health, safety, morals, or general welfare of the community. And that's Farr versus Tippett, 616 Southwest 2nd, 173. That's the standard here, and opposing counsel mentioned it at the conclusion of his argument when he asserted that the town of Ponder was somehow arbitrary or capricious. The definitional or applicable standard of arbitrary capricious is whether or not reasonable minds could or would differ as to whether or not a different outcome could or should have been had. And so here, when you talk about the proper exercise of the town's zoning prerogative, you have to undertake it both in the normal context and in the RLUIPA context, where RLUIPA says that no government shall impose or implement a land use regulation in a manner that imposes a substantial burden on the religious exercise of a person. So when we were at the hearing before the trial court, the Cowboy Church defendants put their reverend on the stand, Reverend Tackett, and I asked him specifically, without a road arena, without the arena that you requested, would your religious exercise be burdened? And he said in the affirmative, yes, and you can find that all in the reporter's record at pages 240 and 241. And so here, based on that testimony where he says without the rodeo arena, the church would be very burdened and it would be very devastating as a church, and he also went on to describe it as a substantial burden. When you place that in the context of RLUIPA and you lower the standard to whether or not reasonable minds could differ, while it may be that we have differences of opinion on whether rodeo and church are integrally related, and that represents a critical ability for them to exercise their religion, the standard here is only whether or not reasonable minds could differ. And so when we talk about comparing whether or not rodeo activity in a cowboy church, the Denton County Cowboy Church, is an integral part of their exercise of the religion, the best comparator that we pointed out to the trial court that I want to point out to you here is a Fifth Circuit case called Merced versus Kasson. And that related to a challenge to a City of Euless zoning ordinance related to the plaintiff's attempt to freely exercise the religion of Santeria. Their particular exercise of Santeria included regular ceremonies in the backyard of a residence that involved the sacrifice of 5 to 7 lambs or goats, a turtle, duck, 10 to 14 chickens, 5 to 7 guinea hens, and 10 to 14 doves, in addition to other elements. In that case, the Fifth Circuit said that was a valid exercise of religion that should be protected by RLUIPA. And here, I'm not asking you to affirm the trial court's granting of the town of Ponder's pleading jurisdiction based on RLUIPA. I'm asking you to do so based on the applicability of the standard of Farr versus Tippett, that if reasonable minds may differ as to whether or not a particular zoning ordinance has a substantial relationship to the public health, safety, and welfare, then plaintiffs clearly did not meet their burden, and it was proper to grant the plea to the jurisdiction.
Let me ask you one question, Mr. Boyle, before you sit down. Mr. Hager has argued that it's very important for the court, this court, to look at the fact that there was, in fact, no ordinance passed. There was a zoning request change granted, but there was no ordinance passed that changed the previous ordinance. What's your position on whether that's important and how it plays into your position?
I have good news and bad news for the appellant. The good news is when you look at what the Town of Ponder zoning ordinance actually says relative to changes, it says in the text itself that all it takes is action by the town council. But if you presume and you take his line of argument wholly, he runs into the bad news, which is a fatal flaw, which is their number one fatal flaw of the day, which is jurisdiction. In the absence of an ordinance, there is not any cited or pled potential waiver of the town's immunity. And so if there's not an ordinance to challenge, then the deck judgment exception on suing the town doesn't apply.
So you can never sue the town under the city council could do whatever he wanted without an ordinance and they could never be sued? Is that your position?
That is not my position, actually, because if the town did something that was just absolutely illegal, that would constitute an ultra vires act for which the town is immune, but its actual employees are not. So in this case, in the event that the town's issuance of the specific use permit was illegal, as alleged, although I don't believe it is based on the text of the ordinance, if it was illegal, then they still haven't established the trial court's jurisdiction, because as to that challenge, the town is immune, but the employee who would have issued that SUP would not be immune individually. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boyle. All right, now we have Mr. Sargent.
I'm a giant, so I'm going to adjust this. May it please the court. My name is Trey Sargent. I represent Denton County Cowboy Church, and I'd like to start off in a similar fashion as we did on our motion in the hearing for motion for new trial, and express that my client feels like we're kind of stuck in the middle. You know, you heard a presentation from the appellant that was couched in terms of zoning violations, lack of an ordinance, and we're a church, and we have nothing to do with either one of those actions. So the live claims that appellant has appealed with respect to the church are a nuisance claim and the denial of an application for a temporary injunction. I'd like to briefly introduce you to the idea of the church, because it's not what you think of when you think of a typical Methodist or Catholic or Jewish or any other type of church. They're a Christian church. Part of their belief is the dissemination of the Word of God through the Western heritage, through cowboy lifestyle. A large component of that is takes place at their arena ministry facility, which is a rodeo arena. The activities they conduct there are like you'd see at any other rodeo. There are frequently sermons, prayers, Bibles disseminated. It provides a setting where my clients can discuss the Word of God and spread the gospel, and it's an integral part of their belief of their religion. So there are two issues that we think are important, whether or not any nuisance damages that that may or may not have been suffered are actually suffered, whether or not they're speculative, whether the case in essence is ripe for review. And then second, if it is ripe for review, did the court abuse its discretion in granting or denying the temporary injunction? So the lawsuit itself is couched in terms, the nuisance claim is couched in terms of bright lights bleeding over from the rodeo arena to their property, sounds, noxious odors, you know, animal smells, that type of thing. The undisputed evidence, the jurisdictional facts that we presented at the plea of the jurisdiction show and prove that there are no lights that exist on the new property, on the new rodeo arena. There were no events that had been held prior to filing or even through the date of the temporary injunction hearing, that there are no speakers that face the appellant's property, and in fact that the southernmost end of the facility has a completely closed off wall so that there's not going to be any dust traveling, specifically to address these concerns, because we want to be good neighbors. You know, we've got to coexist with these folks. So as the court knows, without subject matter, the court must dismiss the claim. So standing is a component of subject matter jurisdiction. You have the traditional three components: injury, causation, redressability, and then you've got these prudential components that are ripeness, mootness, those types of issues. So we're sitting here and we're thinking, we haven't done anything. You know, the evidence that we put on shows that we haven't done anything. All of the harm that plaintiffs allege has not in fact occurred, but they say it will occur in the future. So what are the facts? The facts are that we have taken steps to address each and every one of the concerns that the plaintiffs address in their petition, and that's uncontroverted on the record. So the I want to point you to the Gillum versus Santa Fe case, which we cited in our brief, where a school was going to develop an ag center, and some neighbors next door were concerned about the exact same issues that the appellants in this case are: animal smells, noise, traffic, that kind of thing. And the court said, we cannot rule on this because we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know if there are actually going to be smells. We don't know if there is actually going to be light. It was not ripe for determination, and we submit to the court that the same situation exists here. I want to briefly go through the testimony of the only appellant who actually appeared and testified at the plea to the jurisdiction hearing. I specifically asked him, now, are there any lights attached to the building on the property adjacent to yours? He said, not yet. Okay, now are there any lights attached, are there any speakers attached to the building on the property adjacent to yours? Not yet. Are there any animals there? Not yet. Any evidence of animals there? Not yet. When was the last rodeo event held at the new arena? They haven't held one yet. They haven't had any, is that correct? That's correct. So it's not in dispute, it's a question of law for the court. And we think that it's clear that any alleged harm is speculative and that the case is not ripe for review. If at some point in the future we do operate the facility in a manner that constitutes a nuisance, then there will be a ripe claim to be decided, but that day is not here yet. I want to briefly move on to the temporary injunction issues. If this court decides that there is jurisdiction, then it has to determine whether or not the trial court abused its discretion in denying it. That's a very high burden. Only one of the appellants has presented proof of any real property interest. For a nuisance claim, they have to show they own property. They have to show that their use and enjoyment was interfered with. Only one appellant did that. And the trial court found that he hadn't suffered any injury. He doesn't dispute that he hasn't suffered any injury yet. His testimony says there has not been any conduct on the property that would constitute a current damage to my property. So in our view, the record doesn't contain any evidence at all that there have been any damages suffered. Of course, they have to show there's no adequate remedy at law. There's clearly a measure of damages for a nuisance claim, should one exist. And then finally, we adopt the town's position on RLUIPA that all of the testimony that Pastor Tackett presented was couched in terms of the impact that it would have upon his religious belief, the beliefs of the church, and the detrimental impact that failure to have this facility would cause. And it would just be, it'd be terrible. There are 500 people that go to this church, and they would not have a place to worship in the way that they feel compelled to do so should the court overturn the denial of the application for a temporary injunction. So for those reasons, we'd ask that you uphold the court's decision on the plea and uphold its decision on the injunction.
I have one factual type question.
Yes, Your Honor.
Are we just looking at the newly purchased and acquired property, or are we also looking at the land upon which the church part was originally built?
That's a very good question. Their pleading at the trial court level contained claims against both. We asserted statute of limitations and latches arguments against the original. The only issue that was raised on appeal was the nuisance case for the new property.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Hager.
With regard to the first, the town's assertion of Farr versus Tippett, I'm familiar with that case, and there were several questions that were asked of the town concerning their actions of the town council. In each of the cases cited in the brief, there was an ordinance that was adopted. What are the terms and conditions of the grant of the zoning in this case? We don't know, because there's no ordinance. In Tippett, there was an ordinance. As a matter of fact, in addressing Justice Pittman's question, Mr. Boyle specifically said we would refer to the text of the ordinance. Well, there isn't one. So you don't know what the terms and conditions. Many times when SUPs are granted, there are conditions about putting light controls or odor controls on land uses. That's the whole purpose of having an SUP. But in this case, we'll never know because there's no ordinance for us to consider. Also, with regard to the church, with regard to this issue, if you were to believe or take the church's position, then they would never have to get a building permit and build their facility in accordance with safety standards, because that's a substantial burden, because it costs money to put the appropriate building materials in a building to make sure it's safe for its occupants. But in this case, they are sought, obtained what they felt was a zoning requirement, because the city can only issue the building permit for a use or a proposed use that's in compliance with its own ordinance. In this case, it is not. They have given a building permit to the church to build a building which is not permitted in the R2 district.
You stated previously that the appellants may have, I think your words were, jumped the gun in their nuisance. Are you conceding then that
I'm not going to concede what would be apparent to any good Texan what a rodeo would smell like and sound like and have it in your backyard. I think that that would in of itself indicate that the size of the building, this is a very large facility to be in someone's backyard immediately. The property's contiguous. Yes, there is some separation from the actual rodeo arena itself, but it is not very, very far. If you can recall from the record pictures that were taken by Mr. Schmitz that were displayed at trial in this matter.
Do you think that claim was ripe?
I think the claim's ripe on whether or not this building, built in violation of the zoning ordinance of the town of Ponder, constitutes a nuisance per se. Also, we think that it's cognizable under 1983 for the purposes of immunity issue. Immunity's affirmative defense. We've raised a 1983 claim that the town and the land, and the applicant, the church in this case, have acted in derogation of substantive and procedural due process. These property owners are entitled to have an ordinance passed. These property owners are entitled to have a hearing in order for them to voice their concerns regarding this ordinance. And if that ordinance allows for a nuisance or an unwanted land use, you have in effect taken their property, because you can no longer live there if there's a rodeo 5 days a week. We don't have any control when they have that rodeo. They could have that rodeo 7 days a week. They say they won't, but there's no requirement under the ordinance that was never adopted to that they can only have a rodeo so many days a week. We don't believe there's a substantial burden on religious exercise in this case. And to answer Justice Livingston's question, we are concerned with the new arena, not the current facility. Although the pleading's initially done, the appeal is over the building of a much larger rodeo arena and much larger facility. Again, we would ask the justices to reverse the rulings, Judge Bailey in this case, and remand this case back for a trial on the merits. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to all of the counsel today for all of your arguments and your briefing in this matter. Your case is now submitted, and we will adjourn court.
All rise. Court of Appeals for the Second District of Texas now stands adjourned.